It's a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm so happy to see you this morning all over the place. It is a joy to see you. All right, who's going to win tonight, the Patriots or the, who's the other ones? The Rams. Do we have a mixed breed?
The Bulldogs
are going to
win.
The Bulldogs. Go Dogs. Woo, woo. No, sorry.
Well, then that would mean the Rams would be winning.
That would be the Rams?
Because the running back.
Okay. Well, you know who really wins? Jesus. Right, kids? Jesus is who really wins. I'm glad to see you this morning. If you will, please register your attendance. I have a couple of announcements to share with you. If you'd look at the back of your bulletin and read everything, you'll notice that our password for UMCGen, which is our website, is there for you for the month. You'll also notice on Friday, February the 8th, we're having family game night. Bring a snack to share in the FLC. That's the Family Life Center. So it's going to be game night. Who wants to come and play games? I love to play games. So come, bring the kids. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have great fun. Mark that on your calendar. Next Sunday is a very special Sunday in the life of our district. And I'm going to ask Rick if he'll tell us about the district training event.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is one of the great things about being in Connectionalism, is that once a year we have a training session that people from all over our district come together, and you get to go to classes with other people who perhaps are going through the same things you are at your church and all. There are a number of classes. If you are on council, I really urge you to make a time. It isn't Cornerstone, but here's the good thing about living in Pine Mountain. We've had to accept sometimes we got to go somewhere, but we get to come back here. If you live in Atlanta, you might be physically close to somebody, you're still a long way time-wise. So this is a chance to go, okay, but I get to come back to Pine Mountain. I'll spend a couple hours at Cornerstone Methodist next Sunday. SBRC will be led by our district superintendent, so you can ask the questions you need to ask, particularly if you're new to it this year. Finance, church ministering with children experiencing trauma is one of the sessions. Care for the elderly, particularly Alzheimer's, will be discussed. Evangelism through Fresh Expressions, and a class called Small Church Checkup. And Phil Schrader, who's coming from the North Georgia office, is going to come, and he's written a book about small churches and all that, and how you can grow and be strong within it still being a small church. So we have some great, great teachers in these classes, so I truly recommend that next Sunday you make a trip out to Cornerstone. We'll get together, we'll sing a couple songs together, and then we'll go to class. And you just take, for those who have gone in the past, we don't do two classes now. We do one class, so it's a little more thorough than just a skimming and all. So hope to see you there next Sunday.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. I'm going to Phil Schrader's class. He's amazing. He is amazing. So I hope, if you need a ride, let me know. You can ride with me. I'll be leaving the church at 2 o'clock next Sunday, the 10th. Next Sunday is also Scout Sunday, so next Sunday is a big Sunday in our church. You don't want to miss that either. Our Scouts will be involved in everything that we do next Sunday, and so we want to celebrate them. Also, just very quickly, we have two studies that are starting very soon. The first one is the women's study that Sandy is doing, and that study, I believe, starts this week, right, Sandy? Yes. So if you're in that study or if you didn't get in on it, get with Sandy today. And then Lamar's study starts March the 4th, and there is a sign-up sheet there in the narthex that you can fill out, get a copy of the book. It's going to be a great study on embracing the uncertain. So I hope that you will take the time to get involved in the upcoming studies. And, of course, Rick is still leading studies on Wednesday nights at 6:15 upstairs. And I heard you had a great class last Wednesday. by someone that's brand new. So good for you. So you're having a good turnout there. So I hope you will participate. This Wednesday night we're having potluck, so bring your favorite dish. I understand that we do have some baked chicken and we have some pork tenderloin and a few other things. But please bring your favorite dish. Our potlucks are the best Wednesday night suppers that we have because you all are great cooks. So I hope you'll bring a dish to share this Wednesday night. The flowers this morning, aren't they beautiful, Wendy Bayer? Happy birthday, my dear. These are for Wendy by her parents. So happy birthday to Wendy and happy birthday to anybody else who's having a birthday. I believe those are all the... Oh, don't forget to get your Sweetheart Banquet tickets. Also, that's coming up on the 16th. Y'all, it's February. It's February. So it's time for us to kick it in gear and be busy about doing the work of Christ in the world. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your love and your grace. Holy Spirit, come and receive our worship. May it be pleasing in your sight, O God, and may we be filled with your Spirit. Speak to us this day, O God, and help us to grow in love with you and each other and others in the world. For God, we ask it in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Join me in singing How Firm a Foundation as we stand together, number 529.
dismay, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep water I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathways there lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul through all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
And if you'll turn with me to page 12 as we join together in our invitation, confession, and pardon. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Seated.
Thank you, Rick. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I have several things that I want to share with you. First of all, Alan and Mim Klepper. Alan is not doing well, as you all know, and Mim really could use some encouragement. Caregivers have a tough life. Giving care day in and day out, 24/7, is exhausting. And I know that Nikki is home, and that's wonderful. But I think if we would, and somebody mentioned this morning after the early service, if you would send a card to Mim to just lift her spirits. Just a card saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. A note that says, just wanted you to know that we love you and we miss you and we are here for you if you need us. Those kinds of things can go a really long way for folks who are going through really long and difficult battles. So if you would do that for me, I would greatly appreciate it. Secondly, those of you are aware that Gary Zerner, he has his doctor's appointment on Friday, so I'd ask you to be in prayer for him, as well as Charlotte, as they go to the doctor, and that God will guide the doctors and all those who are caring for him. I don't know how many of you are aware, Tommy and Faye Garrett, Tommy had a stomach bleed on Thursday this past week. He apparently has a bleeding ulcer. And he had a stomach bleed. He is at St. Francis. I always want it to be St. Joseph's, but I know it's not St. Joseph. That's in Atlanta. He is at St. Francis in Columbus. He would prefer not to have any visitors right now as they are trying to get things under control. So if you would just continue to lift he and Faye in your prayers. And I have to say, and I hope they won't mind me pointing out, but what a joy to see Ann and Jack Story in our church this morning. What a glorious day to have you worship with us. So I'm so glad to see you. You've made my day, and it's just a joy to have you with us. We love you very much, and we have missed you. Those are the updates that I have. If you have any other prayer concerns, please list them as you do your tear-off. And your attendance, and let us know of the things that you're concerned about, as well as take a look at all that. Oh, one last thing. I was told this morning that Rhett Riley, the little baby that we've been praying for, he has another surgery this week. And the way Pat explained it is he's this little chubby baby boy who's cute as a button, and you wouldn't think anything is wrong with him, but he's got a heart that's not working right. So he has another surgery this week, so please keep the Rileys in your prayers this week as he goes through more surgery. I think those are all the things that I have. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy and amazing God, what a glorious day you've given us to worship you. God, we thank you so much for all that you do for us, for all the many blessings that you pour down upon us. And God, as we come to you giving praise and joy, we also, as always, God, we have things that we're concerned about, things that need your touch and your amazing grace. And so, God, we lift to you those who are suffering illness, especially Gary and especially Tommy, especially Alan Klepper, especially anyone else in our midst, especially this little baby boy, God, Rhett Riley. God, we lift to you those who have lost loved ones, as well as those who are remembering the loss of loved ones. God, we lift to you today the hurt, the lost, the lonely, the one who doesn't realize that you are even around, that you are with them. And we pray for the one whom no one else is praying for. God, we pray for our military, our first responders. We pray, God, for all those who are in the service industry, who are constantly giving of themselves. And God, we pray for this, our church at First Methodist in Pine Mountain, that you would continue to use us and stretch us and mold us into the people you want us to be. And God, we pray for the United Methodist Church, that you would be with the delegates and all those as they prepare to go to General Conference. And God, we pray that your direction would reign supreme at this General Conference, the end of this month. And God, we give you thanks for all that you have done, for all that you are doing, and all that you will do. We love you so much, God. We pray all this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. And let the people of God say, amen. Amen. Children, if you'll come down front, Miss Kathy has a message for you, I bet. So come on down.
All the little sparklers.
All my sparklers. And big sparklers.
Yeah.
show them love that Mr. Rick was talking about, you will speak words that God wants you to speak. Sometimes people may not understand, but it's important that you still let the words that God put in the mouth be the words that come out. And today when we take communion, we're putting in the body and the blood of Christ symbolically so that that's what can come out and people will see God in us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the times that you speak to us. We thank you for the times that you tell us secret things that you want us to learn, that you tell us things that you want us to share with other people. Help us to listen closely and let your words be the words that come out of our mouths. Thank you for putting your words into our mouths and into our hearts. We ask it this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
At this time, we ask our ushers to come forward. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to honor you, to lift you up, to worship you. And we've done that, Lord, in word, in scripture, in song, and now with our tithes and offerings, Lord. Let us remember that this is too part of our worship experience with you. We ask you to bless these tithes and these offerings, that they strengthen your church and they strengthen the word amongst your people. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, once again, come. Speak to us through your holy word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our minds together be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, kids, does anybody know this song? Rain, rain, go away, come again another day. Do y'all know that song? Sing it with me, kids. Rain, rain, go away, come again another day. Very good. You know what? When I was a little girl, I was outside on the carport. We had a covered carport attached to the house. And me and my cousin were outside playing, and it was raining cats and dogs. And we were playing and singing that song. Well, my mother's name is Lorraine. Do you know what some people used to call her? Rain. So as we sang, rain, rain, go away, she came to the door and stuck her head out and she said, what? Y'all didn't think that was funny as I did you? We thought it was hilarious. Today we are embarking on a series about being called by name by God to be God's people in the world in which we live. To be called by God to be God's people in the world in which we live. Now, I'm not sure if I've ever really told my call story. And kids, what I'm talking about is my call story into ministry. But I'd like to share a little bit of that with you now. You see, as a young girl, my sister Jean was my idol. Do you know what an idol is? You know what that means? An idol is somebody you look up to. Somebody that you just think hangs the moon and does everything perfectly. Now, my sister Jean stood 5 foot tall, somewhere in there, and weighed about 100 pounds. She was just very petite and beautiful in my eyes. And I wanted to be just like Jean. And Jean was a singer. She sang with a local band. They called her the little girl with the big, big voice. And after she died in a car accident when she was 18, it became even more important for me to be like her. And so I began singing in my room, in my bedroom with the door closed. And I would sing with all her records. Records are something that you probably don't know about. You know, records, these were 45s, you know, and you have to put a needle on it and it spins and then the music comes out. I'm trying to make sure our young ones know what we're talking about. And I would play her records and I would sing at the top of my lungs. Y'all know I'm kind of loud, so that's where I got it from. Anyway, one of the guys that she used to sing with came to the house and said, Miss Taylor, that was my mama, do you have any other girls that can sing? And mama said, well, yeah, Liza sings. And he said, well, I'd like to hear her sing. Y'all, I was so scared. I said, I'll sing, but I'm singing in the back room. You stay in the living room. So I sang in the back room. And he stayed in the living room, and he said, yep, I think she'll do. We'd like to have her come sing with our band. And so there we go. I was singing with the band. Throughout my college years, and even longer, I always thought singing was going to be my career. I thought, this is it. What I didn't know was that God was preparing me to accept his call on my life. Taylor was in third grade in Lithonia. Michael was working in Ackworth, and I was working in Tucker. We were in three distinct areas around Atlanta, far from each other all day long, but somehow we made it work. And one weekend, I went on a retreat. It was a retreat to discern what my spiritual gifts were. And so I prayed while I was gone that weekend, Lord, help me to understand what it is you want me to do and what my spiritual gifts are. And when I came back home the next morning, God woke me up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, y'all know I'm not an early riser. 5 o'clock in particular, 7 works okay, but 5 is a little outrageous to me. And then somebody told me they got up at 3:30 to go to work the other day. Who told me that? Somebody did. Michael Willie did. No. At any rate, God woke me up at 5 a.m. And I had this real urge to go downstairs. We were in a beautiful home, our favorite home, our dream home. And I went downstairs and I opened my Bible. I just opened it. You ever do that? You know, you just pick up the Bible and you close it and you just let it open wherever. And the scripture that I read spoke to me personally because, see, I was worried that maybe God was calling me to do something that I couldn't do because I had a third grade daughter and I had a husband and we had two jobs and we needed all of our money in order to pay all of our bills. And the word came from Isaiah that I didn't need to worry about any of that. That as long as I let God be in charge of my life, that God would take care of everything. And he would prepare me to be a pastor. Well, I ran upstairs. Michael was getting up. And I said, honey, guess what? I've just had a word from the Lord. And he said, yeah, right. I said, guess what? I'm going to be a pastor one day. And God has just told me that. And he said it was going to be okay. So we don't need to worry. It'll be all right. And he said, sure, honey. He thought I'd lost my mind. Well, 3 years later, after we traveled to Acworth, Navarre, Florida, and back to Tucker, God sent me to seminary. And the rest, as they say, is history. I never ran from God's call. I just waited for God to bring me to where he wanted me to be. Jeremiah tells the beginning of his call in this first chapter, as Kathy alluded to just a few minutes ago. I want to read to you Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Hear the word of God. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to Judah, which is the southern kingdom. He was faithful to God by confronting the leaders and the people with their sin and prophesied both their 70-year captivity in Babylon and their eventual return from exile. He survived the fall of Jerusalem and continued to serve God and faithfully was obedient to God, which made him strong and courageous and gave him the ability to stand through difficult times. He was the son of Hilkiah, priest of Anatoth. The king at the time was Josiah, son of Ammon, who had been king of Judah. This writing takes place at the time of the exile of the people of Jerusalem. Now, Jeremiah was just a boy. He was just a boy. Can you imagine, Can you imagine, Jane, if God called you to suddenly speak to all of us and tell us that we were sinners and that we needed to get right with God? Can you imagine that, Jane? Can you imagine that, Caitlin? You're just a little girl, but God could do that. Could you imagine that, Emma Kate, that God called you? Or Katie? Imagine, he was just a little boy. He was scared, but he was faithful to God's calling. He didn't know how to speak nor what words to say, but God put the words in his mouth. Jeremiah became a great prophet in a very difficult time in our history. And God never left him. He never left him. We today live in difficult times, don't we? We have a mixture of hate, ridicule, confusion, and some are even saying we now have infanticide. We don't recall, read all the facts. We don't understand because we do not ask. And we don't care because all we really care about is ourselves. We live in a narcissistic world. And yet, God has not left us. God has not left us. God is still in our midst, holding us, carrying us, and encouraging us to accept God's call on our lives. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I'm called to. Well, that's okay. God does. As I was writing this sermon, a red bird, I haven't seen a red bird in a long time, a red bird came and sat in the tree outside my window. And my tears welled up in my eyes as I thought of my mother. Perhaps that saying that a red bird represents a lost loved one is true, or perhaps God placed it there to remind me of the one person in my life who was the epitome of our calling today. My mom. She was the most loving person I've ever met in my life. Now, she would tell you how it was. She didn't hold back. She only stood about 4'11". She came up, she could lay her head on my chest. But she was a spitfire. But more than that, she loved unconditionally. As I've counted over the years, at least 9 people came to live in our home because mother saw that they were in need and opened the door. Whatever we had on the table, she shared it. Whatever you needed, if she had clothes that you could wear, she gave them to you. She was the most loving human being I've ever known in my life, and I miss her every single day. She set the example of love for our family and for others that were around her. Our calling is the calling of love. We are called to love. Now that sounds simple. Paul says it clearly in 1 Corinthians 13 that Rick read earlier. We ended last week with the song, The Gift of Love, remember? And it's clearly the calling that God has on all our lives. We are called to what?
Love.
To love. Love means speaking up when someone else is being mistreated. Love means caring for those who cannot care for themselves. Love means sharing our resources. Love means offering a smile, a hug, a warm handshake. Love means giving of our gifts so that God's church continues to thrive. Love means showing up to support the cause of Christ at church, not just one Sunday a month, but every Sunday. Love means reaching out to strangers with prayer and kindness. I really intend on us doing the prayer drive-through prayer. Y'all need to get ready because I'm going to be calling you. Love means truly being the hands, the feet, the mouth, and the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 13 says, Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I wonder if we were to change that and say, Rick is patient. Sue is kind. Tracy is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Michael does not insist on his own way. Lizzie is not irritable or resentful. Brenda does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Joe bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You see, love is what each of us are called to do. Love. Love. Love people where they are. I always really like to say love people where they're at. But then my English people get upset with me. Love. It's just a four-letter word. And it's a good four-letter word, not a bad one. We are not perfect, are we? Are we perfect? No. But John Wesley said that we are being perfected in love. Well, how are we being perfected in love? By God's grace, by God's design, by God's Holy Spirit, by our faith in God, by our study of God's Word, by our standing together on the front lines of love in our community and with one another. We are not perfect yet. But with God's love and guidance, we are moving on to perfection in love. Now, if I was perfect, I'd have the perfect hairdo, the perfect face. I wouldn't need glasses because I'd have perfect eyes. I would have perfect ears and a perfect, slim, beautiful body. I would have perfect feet that never hurt. I would have legs to kill. Right? I would be perfect from head to toe. But you know what's perfect and what's working on being perfect? It's hidden inside my chest and it helps me live. It beats every day. It's called my heart. We are being perfected in love. As I think over my life and God's call, I now realize that in reality, God had been calling me all of my life to love others, to walk humbly with God, and to serve Him. I believe it says that in Micah, maybe 6:8. God has called each of us to different paths in our lives. Some are doctors, lawyers, teachers, garbage collectors, carpenters, painters, nurses, PAs, teachers, you name it. Farmers. The list is endless. But one main call upon our lives is to love. To love. You make that sign? To love. To love. I want to challenge you this week to be kinder, to be more loving, to be gentler, to be open to God's leading of your words and your actions. Children, when you go to school, I want you to be kind to your friends and your teachers. I want you to show the love that God has given you by the things that you do and how you behave. And adults, I want us to be the hands and feet of love in this community and wherever we are. But not only do I want that, God wants that. I challenge us to step out in faith and accept God's call to love. God's call to love. There's a song in the faith we sing. It's called The Summons. Pull out your faith we sing. Number 2130. This is Jesus speaking.
Thank you.
we prepare to have our great Thanksgiving. And as you receive this gift today, I would encourage you to think about your response to God. How are you loving? How are you being the hands and feet of Christ? Make a response today when you come to this altar to receive this gift. Let God hear from you what you intend to do and how you intend to serve Him. Join me on page 13. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And on that same night, he took the cup. Again, he gave thanks and praise to God. Gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." So, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the people of God, let us say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is Christ's table, not mine. And so Christ invites all those who truly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace and harmony with one another, with love and thanksgiving, to come and receive this gift. If I could have Rick and my acolytes to come and assist me, please.